Your finances should operate out of a kingdom mindset, not out of a worldly mindset. But I would also dare say that I want you this morning to have ears to hear. Somebody say, I have ears to hear. Because if you're not very cautious, then some of the things that I might share might have a tendency to kind of go against some of your traditional thinking. Okay? And so what you don't want to happen is you don't want to hear some of the things that I say and then put up a wall because it goes against your normal thinking. Okay? If you don't agree with it, then just put it to the side and just, you know, eventually the Holy Spirit will show you where you're wrong. If you don't agree with it, just put it to the side and it's okay. All right. What I am learning about when it comes to financial areas, when it comes to walking in things of the Spirit is, you know, people are at different levels. Some people are walking in the things of the Spirit. Some people are running in things of the Spirit. Some people are just flying in the things of the Spirit. You know, and you can only live at your area of revelation, at where your mindset is. And what God's been doing over the last few weeks, He's been causing our mindset to change. Okay? And we're starting to see the fruit of it in different people's lives. I told you the testimony of somebody that, I mean, his business has just increased. I've seen it in my business. I've got testimonies from other people. Just yesterday, with regards to this wedding, we realized, oh man, you know, we forgot fireworks. When I say fireworks, I'm talking about sparklers, you know, that everybody can do as Olivia and Justin are leaving. And so I went to the fireworks place and it's closed on Saturday. And I thought, well, God, what are we going to do? You need to supply it. Walmart doesn't have it. Party City doesn't have it. I don't know what to do. And I just heard, well, ask anybody on Facebook. So I put it up on Facebook. And there was no response until about 12 o'clock last night. I got a text from Chris's son, Josh, and he said, hey, did y'all ever find any sparklers? I said, no. He said, well, we're in Florida, and I'm looking at sparklers right now, and I'm just going to buy 200 of them and bring them to you to the wedding. God supplied it last night at 12 o'clock. I couldn't have done it. Couldn't have done it by myself. God, living out of the kingdom. So just... have ears to hear. Luke chapter 12, verse 31. He says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The whole context of this, without us taking the time to go through it, obviously, is don't be anxious. Don't be worried about what you shall eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. All the things that the world is seeking after, all the things that they're in this rat race to try to make sure that they get ahead of everybody else. He said, you don't be worried about it. He said, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. And the whole point is that if He knows that you have need of them, He's going to well provide for you. I've missed you. Right there on the second row, Cynthia Bolden. You just keep amening all you want to. Oh, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure. Somebody say good pleasure. Good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The kingdom is where everything is. That's what, as a believer, we've been made sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are heirs with Jesus Christ. He has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He's already done it. Everything that we need already exists in the kingdom. Now, the question is are you going to get out of the world and are you going to move your trust into the kingdom? Let's go over to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. I'm just going to have to share it. And when in verse 17, when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why do you call me good? For there is none good but one, and that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor your father and mother. Notice that Jesus left out one of the commandments. He left out probably two or three, but the most important one here, because he's dealing with this guy. And what his problem is, he left out covetousness. Thou shalt not covet. And so he answered and said unto him, verse 20, Master, all these things have I observed from my youth. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him. So Jesus wasn't looking to get on to him. Jesus wasn't looking to beat him up and to condemn him. Jesus looked at him and he loved him. And so what he's about to say is out of response or as a result of his love for him. He said, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatsoever you have, and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come take up your cross and follow me. Now look at the next verse. And he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great or many possessions. This was a wealthy man. And Jesus had just told him to go sell what he has, give to the poor, and he'll have treasure in heaven. Now, most ministers today would take that and say, look, Jesus was wanting to get him to sow seed so that he could get a harvest. But the rich man didn't need a harvest. The rich man had plenty of money. So there must have been something else that Jesus was trying to do. Now turn with me over to 2 Timothy. You'll hold your fingers here. We're coming back. But 2 Timothy, this is what the Lord started talking to me about last week. That I think is very important for us to get a hold of when it comes to living out of the kingdom. And this does not just apply to your finances. This applies to every area of your life. He starts talking in verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous. It's one of the first things that he said. They shall be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Look at verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus talks about tradition. And he says that your tradition will make the word of God of no effect in your life. Now, last week and the week before, I started talking to you about how do you receive out of the kingdom. And looking at Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, I'm not going to go back through it, but over and over he said, today, if you will hear his voice. Today, if you will hear his voice. The key to living out of the kingdom of God is being in a place that you are hearing the voice of God every single day. That's the way that Jesus lived his life. He said, I don't do anything except what my Father tells me to do. Or I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what my Father tells me to say. He was in a place that he was always listening to the voice of God. And whatever God said to do, whatever his Father said, that's what I'm going to do. When it comes to feeding the 5,000, Father, what do you want me to do? I have $20,000 in the treasury right now. Do you want me to use that to go get the food? No, God says, I want you to take and I'm I'm going to multiply some fishes and some loaves. He went to the Father first, not to his bank account first. He's in a place of always obeying the Father. Now listen, we can stay down here and we can operate below where God wants us to be through little formulas. But you can get into the habit of doing something so much that what God showed me is that people have disconnected the power from the form. We have a form of giving. And every time we have a need, us faith people, we've been taught to give. I told you. And what happens is you get a revelation on giving, but if you're not cautious in the way that you do it, you'll then start just going right to that every single time and say, that's the way God wants me to get out of this. That's the way God wants to handle this. No, that may have been in that situation. God may have said, listen, I want you to give to this cause. I want you to give to this ministry in that moment. And you saw something happen as a result of that because you obeyed the voice of God in that moment. And so then the natural tendency, we as humans, we want everything to be a system that we can always go to and do it the same way every single time. And that's what the law of the old covenant was all about. The old covenant was about you do it this way, this is the result. And it was action versus result, and faith was not a part of it. God said, if you do this, this is going to happen. Not if you believe me. He said, if you do this. So it's action, result. New Testament, completely different. He's wanting to take us to a different level. It's not one size fits all. It's not one law fits all. We're not talking about doing things the same way every single time. He wants to take us to a place, saints, that every moment of every day, you're hearing his voice and you know exactly what to do in that moment, and you obey his voice, and you are in a place that you know, I'm a child of the Most High God, and he's already given me the kingdom. And because now I'm operating from a position of sonship and not a position of trying to figure out how God to give it to me, because of that, now I'm free and I'm living in a grace-filled environment, and God is able to do what he wants to do in my life. I've said this for the last few weeks, but I've got to, we're changing mindsets, okay? We're changing mindsets. So I've got to say it again. Watch Jesus. Watch Jesus as he dealt with blind men. One blind guy, he lays his hands on him. Another blind guy, he lays his hands on him. He said, what do you see? And the guy said, I see men as trees walking. It wasn't a perfect healing. So Jesus laid his hands on him again. But, you know, when he did that, he took him outside away from the crowd. And then there was another guy, blind Bartimaeus, that he said, what do you want me to do? And he said, that I may have my sight. He said, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Never laid hands on him. Okay, so what's the doctrine? Do you lay hands on him or do you not lay hands on him? What's the formula? I can't figure it out. Okay, so then there's another guy that he spits in the ground, makes mud, and wipes it on his eye. So somebody would take that and create the denomination of spitting in the mud. And that's what they would do every time somebody came in that was blind. But then there was another guy that he went right up to him and just spit in his eye. How would you like to be a part of that church? But somebody, some preacher would do that. God would heal them. And then from now on, he'd be known as a spitting preacher, because since God did it one time that way, he's going to do it that way every single time. Mm-mm. He's Why did Jesus not heal the blind man the same way every single time? Because he was obeying the voice of the Father in that moment. That's living out of the kingdom. God wants us to do the same thing from a kingdom standpoint in our finances. Dad, can I get you to come up here for a moment, please? Let me use him as an example. And since Daniel is here, I'll use him as an example too. I don't get to use you as an example very much. Okay, so I'm about to give you $100 for teaching purposes only. Actually, I'm giving you $300 for teaching purposes only.
I'm receiving.
Okay. All right. No, you want to keep that out of your pocket. So, multi-billionaire.
Yes, amen.
Successful in business.
Yes, amen.
Got numerous corporations that he has built from the ground up.
Yes, amen.
Okay? His son, Daniel, doesn't know a whole lot.
Amen.
But he is now at the age that he's about to enter into business. Okay? So, he goes to his father, and his father wants to help train him and to teach him about business. So he starts out, he gives him $100. He gives him $100, and he instructs Daniel where to invest that $100. And so he instructs Daniel to invest that $100 into my company. You see what's happening here, right? I'm getting my money back for sure. Okay, now, Daniel doesn't have $100. So, but he was obedient to what his wealthy father told him to do, right? So now, while this is working in my company, because my company is a prosperous company, amen, John? He goes back to his father. He says, I did what you told me to do. Now what do you want me to do? And so he says to his son Daniel, listen, that's just one area that you can be successful and prosper in. Let that money work. Now, let me show you another secret that I know about business. And he gives him another $100. And he says, look, I know that this industry is about to take off. Nobody else knows this, but I see what's about to happen in the marketplace. And so there's this lady that is starting this company, and her name's Melanie Lane. Invest in that area. You can sit down. Melanie's not living in the kingdom. She's just going after every kind of money that she wants. So now Daniel has got his money invested in obedience to what his father told him. Now, he goes back to him and says, now what do you want me to do? I still don't have any money. So he gives him another $100. And he says, I think that here's another company, another industry that's going to take off. This is something that I'm hearing. But Daniel looks at it and says, you know what? I really want a new pair of jeans today. Or I really, you know, I hate that I keep giving this money away because I'm not seeing any kind of return off this investment yet. He doesn't have patience. And so he decides that he's going to hold on and not be obedient to what his dad said. Now, what happens along the way is, yes, my business is successful and it begins generating a small return. Melanie's business, because it's a new industry, takes years before it was generating a return. But it eventually does. But the third option, or the third business, was the one that the government decided that they were going to also invest a lot of money in, and it was an overnight success. And so he goes back to his father and he says, "Why am I not successful?" And his father said, "Did you obey everything that I told you to do?" "Well, I obeyed 2/3 of it, but you didn't obey all of it." So because he had selective obedience, he had selective return. All right? Here's the thing. The Bible says, "I am the Lord. I teach you to profit." In the Father is all the wisdom that you need. In the Father, in Him are hidden all the mysteries from the foundation of the world. I don't need to cuddle up to some CEO. I don't need to cuddle up to some millionaire. I don't need to find out what his secrets are in business, because my Father is the one that teaches me how to profit. He's the one that knows what's going to be the next industry. He's the one that knows how to talk to somebody. He's the one that knows how to lead me and knows how to put me at the right place at the right time to raise me out from where I'm at and to set me up higher than anybody else. My Father. But if I am not in a place that I'm willing to step out and obey just because my circumstances don't look like it's possible, and I decide I'm just going to hold on to it, I'm not going to give, I'm not going to do what He says, then I will never get to that place that I'm truly living out of the kingdom. Amen. Thank you, fellas. Thank you very much. Thank you. And thank you. So if Daniel keeps going back to his father that has all of the wisdom of how to be a successful businessman and keeps learning from him and learning from him, then he will grow up into the image of his father. Wow. And if I will get to the place that what I have doesn't matter, I'm living out of the kingdom, people. Amen. Wednesday night, at the end of the service, after I got through teaching, I said, "Look, as we're walking in the gifts of the Spirit," I said, "let's just pray in the Spirit." And as I began praying in the Spirit, God began to unveil some things and reveal some things to me regarding trust in Him. And I saw Peter walking on the water. And this is what the Lord said. The circumstances, the winds and the waves, everything underneath Peter was unstable. It was always shifting. Everything was moving around. But as soon as he made the decision to step out, not on the water, but on the word that Jesus said, "Come." You hadn't heard nothing yet. The circumstances did not change. We get too hung up on manifestation. We get too hung up on, when I pray, "Father, why haven't I seen the manifestation of the thing that I am praying for?" And what that really means is that my trust and my faith is still in my five senses and not on the word of God. But when Peter stepped out on the word "come," then even though everything looked like it was unstable, he was stable. He was firm. Everywhere he stepped, he wasn't waving back and forth. He was on the word of God. walking on the word. It was only when he started looking around and allowed his focus to get off of Jesus, the word, that he began to sink, that he began to, instead of rising above the circumstances, to descend back into the circumstances and to become unstable again. And this is what the Lord was saying. Stop getting caught up in what's going on in your life. Stop getting caught up on every little situation that's happening. Because if you're believing and you're trusting in God, He will do. There's so many things He can do. He will either navigate you through every situation so that you're firm, that even as things are fluid and move around you, you are walking through it and you are untouched, you are unharmed, you are unscathed in any way because you're listening to the voice of the Most High God. Or He will give you a command of exactly what to say to that situation to cause it to change before you ever get there. When He was asleep on the boat, when He said, let's go to the other side, He wasn't concerned about the waves. He wasn't concerned about the water. He wasn't concerned about the wind because He knew that there was enough power in the word, let us go to the other side, that regardless of what Satan tries to do to him, the word will carry him through. He only got up and rebuked the winds and the waves for the disciples' sake. He didn't do it for his sake. He knew that his word was going to get him there. And sometimes we believe the word of God when everything is safe and everything is nice, but when something comes our way and it looks like Satan's trying to attack us and it looks like something is not lining up with what we said, then we allow ourselves to get filled in our focus on that and we say, what's happening? Why don't I have manifestation? I ask you, where's your trust? God is wanting to get us to a place that our trust goes beyond what we can see. And that becomes living a life of faith. That is what living out of the kingdom is all about. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. He says, rise up. And take your place as a son and a daughter. Stop acting like a slave. Stop begging for what is already yours. You've been given an inheritance. Stop acting like you don't have it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Give me just a moment. I want to make sure that I'm saying exactly what the Spirit of God wants me to say. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. What is your reference point? What is your reference point? How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself, and as you are looking at your finances, as you're looking at your circumstances, as you're looking at your bills, do you see yourself in a position of you don't have enough to pay those? And so as a result, what do I need to do, Father, to get income so that I can pay these bills? And I dare say that a lot of times that's where we find ourselves and that's how we see ourselves. Or do you see yourself as a son of the Most High God that is simply living out of the kingdom and that is confident that God is going to take care of whatever that situation is, and that you have the ability to hear his voice and the wisdom to do exactly what he says to do. When you go to the Father in prayer, are you going as a son or are you going as a servant? Are you going as somebody that has from the position that you already have it? Or are you going to somebody that feels like that they have to beg to get it? Most of the time we go to God in prayer because we see ourselves in a place of lack. Instead of just going to him and saying, Father, I thank you that I'm your son. Father, I thank you that I live in the kingdom. And so, Father, you know, you see the need, and you already knew before I came here that this need has presented itself. And so, Father, I thank you for instruction and revelation. I thank you that you supplied the need already. And now, Father, if there's something that I need to do in this moment, then tell me what it is and I'll be obedient to it. But I thank you that it's already been taken care of. Now that is praying from a place of sonship. That is praying from a place of faith and knowing that your Father has already taken care of it. I'm telling you, that puts you in a place of rest. Earlier this week, somebody called me or texted me and had a distressing situation that was going to happen this Saturday. And so Jennifer and I prayed. We prayed that it would not happen and agreed with her. And that's it. And then Wednesday night, the word of the Lord came forth about circumstances, just what I had shared with you. But when you stay on the word, it doesn't matter. It can go up to 12 o'clock at night when you don't have sparklers for your daughter's wedding. It doesn't matter. I had no idea that Josh and Becca were in Florida and could get it. But yet God said, put it on Facebook. And I did, and out of obedience to that. Well, I got a text either on Thursday or Friday that even though circumstances didn't look like that they were going to change, it changed, and the situation didn't come to pass on Saturday because we stood on the word of God and allowed him to navigate us through everything that needed to happen. That's living out of the kingdom. That's trust. Let's close. Let's go back and let's finish with this rich young ruler, Mark chapter 10. I had a lot of other things that I wanted to share, but the Lord says this is good. This is enough. So I'm going to have to be obedient. Mark chapter 10, verse 22. The man was sad at the saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Why was he grieved? Why was he grieved? He was grieved because he saw the possessions that he had leaving him. And he saw himself as being at a place that he would be without. And the possessions were more important to him than following the voice of God. God himself just said, do this. You just asked a question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus was trying to get him over into kingdom thinking. Amen. Jesus answered the question, but he wasn't willing to obey the voice of God, and he missed his opportunity. Living in the kingdom is obeying the voice of God. God is not saying every one of you go sell your possessions and give to the poor. No, he's just telling Daniel that. No, I'm just kidding. That's an individual thing. But God knew, Jesus knew by the Holy Spirit that this man had a problem with his stuff. He had a problem with covetousness. And it was blocking him from being able to receive out of the kingdom of God. And so he said, go do this. And the man was grieved because he didn't see himself from a position of all of that's going to come back. If I live out of the kingdom, God's going to take care of me. He never saw himself as already having what God wanted him to have. He only saw himself without. And so he missed the boat. If you see what you give as something that you're grieving when you give it, then you're not in a place that you're giving out of the kingdom mindset. Amen. When you give, you're giving out of obedience to what God has said. And knowing that he's already taking care of you. That's why it's such a freeing place when you operate your finances out of the kingdom. Because obeying God will cause you to be in a place that you can give freely and never miss it. Never miss it. Never grieve over it as it goes. You could have $20 in your pocket. And the Spirit of God say, I want you to give $20 this morning. And you just like, okay, because I live out of the kingdom, God, I know you're taking care of me, and you give it. How wonderful. So many times we've had so many people tell us, and look, let me tell you this. Let me explain this to you as far as giving into this church. Let me tell you something. For the first time in 20 years, this church is cash flow positive. We have money in the bank. Okay? That's something to rejoice over. All right. Every bill is paid. Every need is supplied. So the intent to, you know, try to encourage you to give more. No, that's never been my heart. And you know that. But I can tell you from a testimony standpoint, what God has done just in the last few months has been awesome. So don't think of it that way. You just want to obey what God says. God's going to take care of the needs of this church, whether you obey or not. Because my faith isn't in your obedience. My faith is in what thus saith the Lord. Amen. So, but you can give. We have so many people that's told us, look, when I get this big settlement or when I get this big deal go through, then I'm going to give to the church. But what you find is if they're not going to be faithful in the small things and obedient in the small things that God tells them to do, they're certainly not going to be obedient in the big things, because once that money comes in, then they start seeing $10,000, $15,000. I got a new truck I need to buy. I got something else I want to do with this money. So if they're covetous and have a love of money over the small stuff, it's going to exponentially get bigger when they get bigger. But actually what we find out is those deals never go through. Wow. Because they haven't been faithful over the small things. And they're looking to the settlement. They're looking to the business deal to supply their need. And they're not looking to the kingdom of God. I got to stop. He was sad. He went away grieved. For he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But then Jesus said, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches? See, God wants you to be rich. He just don't want you to trust in what you have. He wants you to keep your trust in him. Jesus became poor that you might be made rich. The context of that scripture is about giving. It's about money. Jesus became poor that you might be made rich, but not that you may trust in those riches. Because once you move your trust to your bank account, then you stop obeying and hearing the voice of God. And see, God wants to take you. He's interested in your finances, absolutely. But he's more interested in where he can take you from a revelation standpoint, from a wisdom standpoint. Where can he take you in his spirit? Well, if you're not faithful and you won't obey him out of the kingdom when it comes to your finances, then how, Jesus said, can he entrust into you the true riches? See? So this guy missed it because he wouldn't obey the voice of God. This is what, I want to bring this back around to what I started off saying. Don't just give and sow a seed just because that's the way you've always done it all your life. Because what's happening when you do that is it just becomes a form, an empty shell. It's the same thing when it comes to speaking the word. If you're just saying things from memory, but you're not connecting believing and your heart to the things that you've said, they become words that are void of power. The important part isn't the words that you speak as much as it is the belief and the faith that are in the words that you speak. Everything about New Testament is what's going on with the heart. What's going on behind your actions. You can do something, but God said about the Old Testament, he said, these people, they do these things and with their lips they praise me, but their heart is far from me. We want everything that we do, whether we give, whether we obey, whether we speak, whatever we do, we've got to connect the power with the form. We've got to do what God has said to do. I'm going to give you one more example, and then I'm going to close. No, I don't know. Do I need to do that or not? I don't mean this. Understand my heart in the way that I'm about to say this, okay? Because I know that a lot of people got caught up in this, okay? And so I do not say this from the standpoint of being judgmental or being condemning towards any individual. This is just meant to be instructive and to help us rise above another level, okay? So there was a minister that got a revelation for him and then began to preach it. And I don't mean this, if this is a favorite minister of yours, I won't call his name, but you'll know who I'm talking about, any of you that got caught up in this. I don't mean this, again, to be judgmental or condemning towards him, okay? I'm talking about form versus power. I'm just telling you, I'm using this as an example of how we can get into a form, but we have no power attached to it. And so for him, it was every time that you give, make sure you're saying money cometh. Okay, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And then also make sure you're pulling that slot machine, money cometh. And so meetings everywhere that everybody had, the whole congregations, make sure you say money cometh when you give. Now, first of all, that phrase isn't anywhere in the Bible. That sounds like King James to me when you say cometh, but it's not in my King James Bible. Now, am I saying that the revelation is wrong? I'm not saying the revelation is wrong. I'm saying the revelation may have been for him for a specific time for something that he needed in his life. But when you take a revelation that God has given you and then start making a doctrine out of it and said, this is the way that God wants it to work for all the body of Christ, then you start creating form and you disconnect the power from that form, because now people start saying, that's the magic bullet that's going to get me my harvest. That's what I haven't been doing all this time. I haven't been saying money cometh. I haven't been pulling that little slot machine lever. And so they start putting their faith in just saying this little phrase and this little action, and they get their eyes off of the word of God, that I'm a son of God. I've already been given all things that I need. And so I should be operating from a standpoint of sonship instead of a standpoint of I don't have it and I'm trying to get money to come to me. All right, say it. It's important that we stay where the power is. And the power is in the voice of God. The power is in what He tells you to do. And then as I obey what He tells me to do, I'm living out of the kingdom. Now, we can keep living down here and have these little formulas, or we can say, God, I want to be to a place that I'm hearing Your voice every single day. Thank You, Father. Like I said, if there's anything that I've said here this morning that just kind of rubs you the wrong way, then just lay it to the side. Just understand where my heart is. I want to live to the fullest potential Amen. Of what the Father God has for me. Amen. I want to hear His voice every single day. I want to obey every single thing He tells me to do because I have provision. I have provision. I have provision. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Father, we give You praise. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. That a new revelation of sonship. That a new revelation of Your love for us. That a new revelation of Your kingdom invades our thinking. Transforms our believing. Debrokdoskrabata sigre mende. Kebrokoto sobra teribikite sigroto sumbrande. Sobrande sikroto sohokoto ramande. Segroto sungre mende igradishkraba. Kelabakata siklo kuhunde. Ebrokto shkramande sigre menge. Kumbrange de shikroto sokre de shiki hiti de bokute. Sembrang de shikle mende. Sobrakete, thank You. Jesus.
My children, hear the voice of your Father. You've lived on the earth when I want you to live in the heavenly places. You've lived far below your inheritance. I've called you to do great exploits on the earth, but it has to come out of my kingdom. It's never going to work for you down here as long as you think down here. You're going to have to renew your mind to see yourself as I see you. I don't see you without. I see you with more than enough. I don't see you without the power to do those exploits. I see you with the power. So quit thinking small, earthly thoughts. Rise above. See what I want to do in you, and then it shall come to pass.
Oh, hallelujah. Come on, give Him a praise offering. Thank You, Father. We receive that. We receive that, Father. We receive that. You have to make the choice to believe. Believe what has gone forth today. And so shall you rise up into your place of sonship, of daughters, of being an heir of the Most High God. Does anybody need healing this morning? While the Spirit and the presence, His presence here, does anybody need healing this morning? I always want to give you an opportunity to be healed by the presence of God, the power of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You can hear? Do you hear better now? Hallelujah. Praise God. You should have seen, you didn't see his face. But as soon as I did that, he went, "What? He's been having trouble understanding people." And he said, "I can hear." Hallelujah. God's good. Praise you, Jesus.
What's up? I'm going to have an operation July 9th. They're going to fuse 5 discs in my neck.
Why are they going to fuse them?
I had an accident. I fell off a ladder. Landed on my head.
Well, what's the problem with them?
They're all crammed up. And
so they need to be uncrammed?
Yes. They're crammed up. And he said he's got a...
Are they on the back? Doesn't sound like kingdom living to me.
Put screws in there.
Yeah.
I don't want screws in there.
Well, in the name of Jesus, whatever has been compressed, whatever has been crammed together, Father, in Jesus' name, we command it to be loosed. We command it to go back to its rightful place in the name of Jesus, where every disc was designed to be, the correct spacing between them, so that there's freedom of movement. And that there is no pain in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your grace and your love. In the name of Jesus. How can you tell that there's been a change?
Well,
what are the symptoms?
I don't have the pain. The pain.
So the pain's already gone. So you've had constant pain right there.
What about? I had pain sitting right there. It's not. I'm not having pain now. So I think.
What about moving around your head? Is there pain sometimes when you move? What about right now?
I'm moving good. Praise God. I believe God's healing.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Anybody else? Amen. Amen.